Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
I already did.
Here's John Williams.
About 45 minutes ago, I hope you were there for that. It's 2:09. This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. We'll keep you posted on that weather. Started to sprinkle a little bit today. Some of you probably welcomed it, but no big rain downtown yet, so stay tuned to WGN Radio. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis are in our studio in about 45 minutes. It was about this time yesterday we spent a little time talking about the story of the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. This is a case that goes back to 2012. The baker, Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado, refused to create a cake for the wedding reception of David Mullins and Charlie Craig, a same-sex couple. The couple filed discrimination charges. Mr. Phillips calls himself a cake artist. He argued that two parts of the First Amendment, its protection for free expression and religious freedom, overrode a Colorado anti-discrimination law and allowed him to refuse to create a custom wedding cake. You've got sort of conflicting interests here. There's the anti-discrimination side, and then there's the side that says, yeah, but this guy has religious freedom. He has free speech. He doesn't want to make the cake. Mr. Phillips' lawyers said he is happy to create other items for gay and lesbian clients, but his faith requires him, they said, to use his artistic talents to promote only messages that align with his religious beliefs. Thus, the brief said, he declines lucrative business by not creating goods that contain alcohol. His religious beliefs are against that. Or cakes celebrating Halloween or other messages his faith prohibits, such as racism, atheism, and any marriage not between one man and one woman. He just can't do it. And I thought we'd already settled on all of this sort of thing. But the Supreme Court is going to take up the case, even though some experts in the field said, don't do it. But they will. We reached out to John McGinnis, professor of law at Northwestern University, to give us the rub on this one. Hey, John, welcome back. You're on WGN. How are you?
Delighted to be here.
What's going on with this case? Why is the Supreme Court taking it? And what is the rule on it currently?
I think the court has taken it because it raises the question, even after the legalization of same-sex marriage, what will be the rights of dissenters to that institution. So that's the broad issue. The specific issues are, does this refusal to sell an artistic wedding cake violate either the free exercise clause or the freedom of speech, which, of course, people have who are not religious. I think the freedom of speech argument could conceivably be a good argument. I don't think the free exercise argument under current law likely goes anywhere because the Supreme Court has stated that so long as the law is neutral, doesn't target some particular religion as a requirement to serve everyone and not discriminate, does not target a religion. So I'm skeptical of the free exercise argument. The free expression argument, I think, is an interesting one, and it's interesting with a certain social feature. I was married, I guess, 5 years ago, and I think it's absolutely true that the person who did our cake considered herself an artiste. I wouldn't have thought that beforehand, but she certainly did. And so the question there is a harder one because I don't think you could require a newspaper to cover same-sex marriages because that would be a enforced expression. And so that's the question in this case. How the court will draw that line, I think, is a difficult issue because, of course, there are a lot of goods that you might give to a wedding, renting out a hall, that don't seem to have anything to do with expression. On the other hand, if you have a cake that, for instance, people ask to put on the rainbow colors of gay pride, That does seem to be expression. So I think that's the hardest question in this case.
Well, I see a number of directions on this. For instance, now every cake baker, every hair cutter, every photographer and nail salon artist is going to be an artiste. And they're going to say, well, I see people's hair as a canvas upon which I create sculpture. And you can't force me to, against my religious beliefs, do the hair of somebody whose haircut will be an expression that violates my religious beliefs. How about them, apples?
Well, I think that's, I think that's really a religious argument that's not going to win. The question is, could you make an argument that it is a free expression that is problematic? I think it'd be very difficult with respect to hair. I think it's harder with respect to cake. I think the court might decide this case depending on what the marriage couple asks. In other words, that if they just ask for a cake, a plain black and white cake, that's fine. But if they ask for a cake that has some, ask for two men to be painted on the cake, that starts looking a lot more like expression. So it's like that kind of fine distinction on which this case may turn.
Yeah, see, that's, to me, it's, I don't know that you need a Supreme Court or a $52 attorney to think about this. If I come into your cake shop and I want to buy some cupcakes, you can't refuse me service because of the color of my skin or my sexual orientation. I think you've got to sell those people cupcakes. But you can't force me to put on there, congratulations, Bob and Steve, because you can put that on your own dang cake, but I'm not going to put that on there. I mean, that's where I am on this.
I tend to think that is where the court will come out. I think it's interesting about our society, I think, is that craftsmen in our world of expression, they spend a lot more time in collaboration with people who want ceremonies, making them all about the expression. So I think the case is not a frivolous one more generally, because a lot of what we do in this society is expressing ourselves, expressing our beliefs, and craftsmen work to that end. And they have rights of expression just like academics or newspaper reporters or people who comment on a news radio. So I think we should be at least sympathetic in that respect, that many people today who make cakes or do other matters really do think of themselves as not just giving something that tastes good, but being part of an expressive society.
It does seem a little frivolous, though, doesn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, dude, you're going to sell him a cake? You know, put the dang rainbow on there. Are you kidding me? That's not religion. That's cake. That's not an expression of your faith or a violation of your faith. It's just a cake. Just put the rainbow on the cake, for crying out loud.
Well, I don't think I'm entirely sympathetic to that perspective. When you are actually promoting then something you don't believe with your expression, and the court has been very clear that you can't require someone to put on, for instance, on their car, live free or die, if they don't agree with that. And I don't think the state can require someone to put an expression, which I think the fair implication of it is that gay marriage is a good thing, if they don't believe that either. So I think that's a really a core part of our view of the First Amendment, that you can't be required to express something that you don't believe, even if most people believe it's a great thing.
Wait a minute. What is that? Is that New Hampshire? What's the state that says live free or die on their license plate?
That's New Hampshire. Exactly.
New Hampshire. And so some people say, wait a minute, that's not my attitude about this. And there was a court case about that, and they said,
absolutely. The court said that if you didn't want to display those sentiments, you didn't have to.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? You got to have a license plate. Did they change the license plates?
I think they had the. I think my memory is you didn't have to. They either could block it, or they had to sell you a
ones without that.
Without that,
I know that Wisconsin was considering redoing America's Dairyland, and someone there suggested that the license plates in Wisconsin should say "Eat cheese or die" as a way of promoting cheese. But I guess if I didn't like that, I could protest that too, huh?
Well, I think that's much less likely that people would protest it. I mean, this, I think, is a stronger case than the live free or die, because I think people might say, well, that's actually, we think that expression is the expression of the state. But here, with this hypothetical of the rainbow cake or the congratulations to on your same-sex wedding, that's obvious. That's much clearly the expression or the joint expression of the producer of the cake and the couple.
Sure, I get that. But I got to tell you, John, I just don't see it that way, and I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's a practical matter. We can resolve this. But when I see a cake that says congratulations and it's two men's names or two women's names on the cake, I don't see that as a statement by the cake baker. He was hired by the recipients of the cake. It's not his expression. It's theirs. He's just doing the work for them.
Well, does that mean that you think your radio station should be forced to accept advertisements that advertise for racism? I mean, in some sense, that's the same issue, because after all, your radio station could say, well, it's not ours, it's someone who's advertising it. It's not our responsibility. But I think, I'm pretty sure your radio station probably wouldn't accept kinds of advertisements.
It's an interesting point. By the way, Justin wanted to ask a comment or ask a question, too. Hey, Justin, or is it Dustin? You're on WGN.
Justin with a D. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
My question is, can business owners use the sign, we refuse the right to service anyone at any time, and so on and so forth, as a guise, you know, for discrimination, racism, or, you know, your religious aspect or what have you? How does that fall?
Good question.
No, you couldn't do that. Your declaration wouldn't get around the law. And indeed, I think this is a narrow question. In general, the court is going to say anti-discrimination laws are fine. The only question is whether the laws can interfere with your expression. And as I suggested, I think there may be a narrow exception to this, not so much on a religious basis, but on the basis that the state cannot compel you to speak.
Tom, you're on WGN. Thank you, Dustin. Tom, what did you want to ask? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Question. If a person walks in a bakery and the baker happens to be Jewish and the customer wants a swastika on the cake, that's not even a religious question. What's your take on that? Should that baker be compelled to make a cake with a swastika?
Yeah, boy.
I think that will be a hypothetical, and I think the answer of the court would be no. They can't be compelled to do that because that's compelled speech by the state, and I think that that kind of hypothetical will come up.
What a good question. Thanks for the call, Tom. Hey, John, there's a couple of other issues in the news about the Supreme Court. Obviously, I'm kind of curious what you think about who won in their ruling on the Trump immigration ban, and also sports betting in New Jersey. At the casinos and at the racetracks, they want us to be able to bet on NCAA basketball games or NFL games. I wonder what the law says or the Constitution says about that, and should we go down that road? In a minute on WGN, talking with John McGinnis. He's professor of law at Northwestern University. By the way, a text has just poured in from my friend Ron, who said, well, what about no shirt, no shoes, no service? I mean, that's an instance where the proprietor can decide not to sell somebody a product, right? Right, John?
Yes, because he's not discriminating on the basis of religion or sexual orientation, but on the lack of a shirt. And the government has not seen fit in its wisdom to require people to serve people without shirts. So Ooh. It's a very easy question.
Thank you, Ron. By the way, what about immigration travel ban, who came out the winner on that, or is it too soon to tell?
I think it is too soon to tell, and we may never tell because the case may be moot. The travel ban only has a certain amount of time to run before the president has said he's going to reorient it. So the court may never hear it. I think it's quite a mixed result. The court narrowed injunction, and so it can now apply to anyone who doesn't have connections to the United States, but it still left the injunction intact with respect to people who might have a relative in the United States or who have a connection to a university as a student. And that suggests there are some justices on the court who think that the plaintiffs have some merit. And so I think it's a very mixed message that the court is sending, and it's, as you point out, not a final message. So I don't think we can learn an enormous amount from what the court did as to what it will finally do if it ever reaches the question.
Finally, the Supreme Court's also considering a case from New Jersey. It's about legalized sports betting. It's legal, I guess, in four states, but in New Jersey, they want to let you go to a casino or a track and bet on other sports, the NFL, NBA, stuff like that. Any insight on that and what's at play here?
Well, sure. What's in play is a doctrine about commandeering state legislatures. It's not about gambling at all. What New Jersey has done is a federal law against state gambling, but what New Jersey has done is repeal its laws against gambling and say, well, we're not going to help enforce that law. If you want to enforce that law, you've got to do it yourself. And the question is, can they be, in some sense, enlisted? And are they being enlisted in the federal program? So it's really not going to be about gambling per se at all, but the relation between the federal and state governments in the enforcement of federal law.
Well, if New Jersey wants to take book on an NBA game, what's the federal government going to do about it?
Well, I guess that's, I mean, the federal government, of course, could have its own agents enforce the law. That's how one might see the ultimate resolution of this case. What the New Jersey government is trying to do is trying to make it much harder and not really acquiescence in the enforcement of federal law. And that's the issue, not the question of whether or not the federal government could make gambling illegal and enforce everything itself. I think there's no doubt that it could under the current view of the Interstate Commerce Clause.
I wonder what they should do, just as a practical matter, as I like to say sometimes. Everybody's, so much money is being spent, you almost wonder if they shouldn't legalize it, legislate it, and tax it. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's probably my view, and I also think it's very problematic. Some of these federal laws are overbroad and actually prevent something called prediction markets, markets in which people bet on who's going to win the election, bet on what's going to be the result of public policy. And I think those markets, like sports markets, are actually very useful. They give us useful information. And so I'm quite skeptical of these broad federal laws against gambling.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. There are markets, I've heard about that. For instance, will Donald Trump finish his first term? You can actually bet on that right now, and they're using it as a prediction model to whether or not he'll resign or get impeached or whatever. People are putting their money where their mouth is on that. That's a very powerful tool, isn't it?
Right. Well, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world, and to have a market which allows you at least have some sense of the probabilities allows the rest of us to guide our behavior. And in some cases, sometimes they actually say, well, what's going to be the result of this policy? Let's bet on that. And that can even inform what our social policy should be. So I think that's a good idea, and I think federal and indeed state gambling laws sometimes restrict it. And that to me is the largest public policy problem with them.
Nice to talk to you, John. We'll visit another day. Thanks for your thoughts this afternoon.
Okay, goodbye.
John McGinnis is a professor of law at Northwestern.